So can you believe it? Can you believe it's already September? Where has the time gone? Do you realize? Some of you may remember, some of you it might not seem like very long ago. But this coming weekend marks a year that Michelle and I were first here, me interviewing for this calling. And a lot has happened in the past year. But in retrospect, at least to me, it seems like just yesterday I was right here preaching that candidating sermon and going through all the interview process to be called to serve you. And it's been a blessing what this year has brought so far. And with that, we're already into our fall schedule. The temperatures are already dropping. Soon the leaves will be changing color. I've seen a few trees changing even this week. And before you know it, we'll be into Thanksgiving. Now, don't panic. You still have plenty of time to get ready. In fact, if you look at the calendar, we have a little over 2 months until Thanksgiving. So, as a way to prepare you a couple months in advance, today we're going to talk about the topic of Thanksgiving. I primed the kids with Christmas and Christmas gifts, but wrapped around all of that was the topic of Thanksgiving and the importance of giving thanks. As most of us know, Thanksgiving isn't just a day of the year. It is a daily aspect of life. We as Christians are called really to live every day in Thanksgiving because we have so much to be thankful for. We're called to live with a heart of thanks. So the sermon text for today comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 17, verses 11 through 19. I'll have you stand for the reading of God's word. Luke 17:11. On the way to Jerusalem, he was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance and lifted up their voices, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he was cleansed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice, and he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well." Let us pray. Dear Lord, thank you for these words and this teaching from your Son. Lord, we ask for open hearts and minds to receive what you have for us from your word, the teaching of Jesus on Thanksgiving. And Lord, we pray once again that you would teach us what it is to live with a heart of thanksgiving. Lord, we truly thank you for everything you have given us. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Well, I remember Christmases and birthdays really well growing up. We would have a routine where the presents would be under the tree. We'd probably actually do it on Christmas Eve. Some of you may open presents on Christmas Eve, some Christmas Day. Growing up and in my life, we've done it both ways, which is great. Christmas Day was harder because you had to wait an extra day. But finally, when we opened the presents, we couldn't just rush in and tear open our presents. My mom and dad had a specific routine, which Michelle and I kind of do now in our adult life. One person would grab a gift and then give it to somebody else. So you couldn't grab your own gift. You'd have to do it one at a time. And we'd open them one at a time. And my parents did this so that they could keep a track of everything we got. But as I would open my presents, I remember I'd enthusiastically thank Mom and Dad for whatever they got me. It was really easy. I'd open it up, a Nerf gun. Thank you, Mom and Dad, I love it. But then there were the gifts from relatives, grandparents, aunts and uncles from across the country who couldn't be with us that particular Christmas. Their gifts were great too, and they needed to be acknowledged. So I vividly remember the tedious task of writing thank you notes, like I showed the kids. Like I said, that list wasn't just so we could see, look back, you know, in previous years to see what we got every year. That list was to help us in writing those thank you notes. And so after the fun of the holidays wore off, Mom would sit us down at the dining room table and have us write thank you notes to everyone we got stuff from that wasn't there with us that Christmas day. And sometimes, even if Grandma and Grandpa were, she'd still want us to write thank you notes for them. I remember I hated it. I would ask Mom why I had to do this. Isn't me enjoying the gift thanks enough? Have you ever tried to pull that one on your parents growing up? Well, I did, and it didn't work. She said it was good for me. It was the polite thing to do. But I always treated writing thank you notes as a tedious and boring task. But I did it, and later on I came to better understand why Mom made us do it in the first place. I didn't then understand the reason for giving thanks for these gifts, which is about expressing gratitude and love for the giver. In our passage for this morning, we read of Jesus giving a great gift to 10 men. He healed them of their leprosy. Leprosy was, and is, a very severe skin disease. It eats away at the flesh, causing severe visible sores, as well as nerve and muscle damage throughout the body. We know it today as Hansen's disease, so it has a more medical name now, but it was called leprosy back then. In fact, in Bible times, the word leprosy could actually refer to any variety of skin diseases. They just used the blanket term leprosy, even if it wasn't actual literal Hansen's disease as we know it today. But the word leprosy comes from a Greek word that literally means to scale or to peel off. And so that gives you kind of an image, a graphic image of what leprosy actually looked like. Plus, this scaling and peeling, I mentioned before, it caused nerve and tissue damage, and it would cover the entire body, and life would be miserable for the person who had it. And this was a big issue for the Jewish community of Jesus' day, because it caused the bearer to be ceremonially unclean. And what that meant was they were excluded from worshiping at the temple, or even interacting with the community at all. They couldn't even come into the town. They had to live on the outskirts. They couldn't come into close proximity with any people that weren't infected with leprosy. And so they would, for companionship, they would huddle together as we see the 10 men with leprosy here in our passage. But lepers, long story short, were the outcasts of society. And Jesus, in our passage, healed, literally cleansed, the 10 men of their leprosy. Yet only one returned to give Jesus thanks. We're told that this man was a Samaritan, which puts an even bigger twist on the story if you know the history of that culture. You see, in Jesus' day, there was great tension and mutual hatred between the Jews and the Samaritans. Samaria was a region, a smack dab in the middle of Palestine, or what we know as modern-day Palestine. You had Jewish Galilee to the north and Jewish Judea to the south. And so the Jews were separated geographically by this region called Samaria. And the only way to, you know, for Jewish Galileans to get to Jerusalem to worship in the temple is they would either have to brave it and go through Samaria, or they would take the long way around just to avoid those half-breed Samaritans, as they called them. So they were considered no more than half-breeds, no more than foreigners, these Samaritans were. And they hated the Jews, and the Jews hated them. There was mutual hatred between both sides. This is why Jesus asks the question in verse 18 of our passage. Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner? The other nine were only focused on themselves, or at the very least, the gift that they had received. They had forgotten about the giver of the gift. In the same way, we may receive many gifts of all different kinds, and we certainly do from God. We receive life, food, clothing, shelter, job, family, so on and so forth. In fact, every good thing, truly good thing you have in life, one way or another, goes back to God. He gave it. But we are selfish. Like the nine lepers, we too get focused on the gift itself and forget the one who gives us all these things. We forget to thank God. We are all lepers. Now, we may not have physical leprosy. We may not even have any physical disease. But we're all lepers. We're all adulterers. We're all murderers. We're all idolaters. We're all liars. We are all infected with the leprosy of sin and unbelief. We're sitting on the side of the road, hopeless, just like those 10 lepers in our passage. In fact, some of us don't even know that we have a disease that needs healing. But Jesus knows. Therefore, we who were once without hope now have immense hope. God is gracious and has mercy upon us. Just as he did when he healed those 10 men of leprosy, so Jesus heals us of our sins by his word. We are cleansed from the leprosy of sin and death. And so thanksgiving then becomes the natural response to receiving this great gift. We see this perfectly in the story of Jesus healing the 10 lepers. Thanksgiving is the natural response to the process of salvation. The salvation process itself comes to us in three steps, as we see in the passage. It begins with a problem. A problem. Now, in the passage, the problem was leprosy. That's pretty clear, pretty obvious. It was slowly killing these 10 men. It made them social outcasts. For us, our problem, as I said before, is sin. It also slowly kills us and leads us to eternal condemnation. And what condemnation really means is us being forever separated from the presence of God. All our lives, whether we realize it or not, we have been in the presence of God, receiving his gifts, receiving life, and all the benefits of that. Eternal condemnation is the opposite of that. It is the scariest thing we could ever think of. So that's what we're talking about when we say the wages of sin is death. Death. Physically, first of all, but ultimately spiritual, forever separated from God. But the first step in the salvation process doesn't end with the problem. As we know, I said earlier, some people don't even know that there is a problem. So the first step in the salvation process is not the problem itself, but rather recognizing that there is a problem. Well, let me be frank with you. You are all sinners. I am too. That's just a fact. If you know anything about the Bible, then you should know that we are all miserable sinners. Now, some of you may feel on edge because I've just accused you of being a sinner. Well, that's the point, really. No human being wants to be told that they're wrong, that they have messed up. But salvation cannot occur for you unless you first recognize that there is a problem, unless you admit that you are a miserable sinner. We see this in the text, that the lepers cry out to Jesus for mercy. They recognize that they have a problem. Next comes the word. Notice that Jesus never lays his hands upon the lepers in order to heal them. He simply speaks the words, "Go and show yourselves to the priests. The word of Jesus was sufficient to heal these 10 men. It's the same with us. The word of Christ is sufficient to save us from our sins. As Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the word of Christ. In fact, this is what is occurring at this very moment. We are hearing from the word of Christ, which is essential to our salvation. So first came admitting the problem. Second comes hearing the word of Christ. And the word of Christ is essential to producing the solution. So the solution is number three in the salvation process. We see in the passage of Jesus and the lepers, the word of Christ produces a certain kind of response in these 10 men. They go and show themselves to the priests. What prompted this response? Well, we usually see the healing as the gift, and rightly so. But there's more to it than that. There is an invisible gift behind the visible gift of healing. Jesus himself tells us what that gift is in the very last verse of our passage. He says to the Samaritan leper, "Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well." This is the true gift of Jesus, not the mere healing, but the faith. And from that faith comes the healing. The words of Christ brought forth faith within the hearts of those 10 lepers. And responding in that faith, responding to his words, they were healed. It is the exact same process for all of us. We hear the words of Christ, the words bring forth faith through the power of the Holy Spirit, and it's not just I believe because I believe, or faith for the sake of faith. It is faith in a very specific detail of our human history. Faith in the person and work of Jesus Christ. And still, we get even deeper than that. Not just faith that he existed, but faith that he died on the cross for your sins and for my sins. And we are healed. That is, saved from our sins and cleansed from all unrighteousness. And now this is where thanksgiving comes into play. Thanksgiving is not a part of the salvation process. If you remember nothing else from my sermon, remember that. Thanksgiving is not a part of the salvation process. Otherwise, we might have something to boast about. Rather, thanksgiving is the natural response to that salvation process. All 10 men were saved, that is, cleansed, healed from their leprosy. But only one of them, remember, the Samaritan, returned to thank Jesus. But boy, did he give thanks. After he sees that he's been healed from his leprosy, he runs back towards Jesus, praising God with a loud voice, it says. And he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. This man was truly grateful and thankful for all that Jesus had done for him. He displayed a true heart of thanks. And Jesus recognized it. Now, I know some of you may be wondering about the other 9 lepers. I've actually been asked this in a previous church. The question went something like this: were the 9 other lepers even cleansed since they didn't return and give thanks? I want you to think about that answer for a moment. And as you do, don't forget to consider the salvation process which I described. Where does thanksgiving fall into play? Is it part of the process or a response to the process? To go back to the question, were the other 9 lepers even healed because they didn't give thanks? I know I gave the person who asked it a more thorough explanation, But the blunt answer was and is, yes, of course the other nine lepers were cleansed. Verse 14 tells us plainly, and as they went, they were cleansed. So another question might be, well, did they lose their cleansing since they didn't go back and thank Jesus? And to that I answer, no. They didn't lose their cleansing. They still had the gift, whether they thanked Jesus or not. Thanksgiving is not required for salvation. They were still cleansed, the other nine lepers, even though they didn't thank Jesus. And the text, frankly, doesn't say that they lost their cleansing for not thanking Jesus. Again, that would be adding a human work into the process of salvation. Like we have to meet God halfway in order to secure our salvation, or at least be sure our salvation is secure. God does this, and we do that, and boom, we're saved, right? Well, some people believe that that's how God works, but that's just not the way God operates. That's not how salvation works. Absolutely nothing we do, even thanking Jesus, will ever add to or secure our salvation. But thanksgiving is the proper response to the salvation process. It is one of the fruits of salvation. It is part of our worship of God. God has blessed us with so many gifts in life, the most important of which is our salvation, being saved from our sins, that we cannot help but thank Him. And He truly deserves all the thanks we can give Him. And as I told the kids, we don't have to thank Him, we get to thank Him. So do you have a heart of thanks? Remember, the 10 men in the passage had a problem, and they clearly recognized it. We too have a problem. Have you recognized it? Jesus spoke the word, creating faith within the hearts of those 10 men. Well, friends, Jesus is speaking to you right now, this very moment, bringing faith also to your very hearts that you might believe and be saved. And this faith was confirmed in how the lepers responded. They were cleansed. They were healed of their leprosy. So the problem solved. Your sins are forgiven. Don't you just want to thank God for His indescribable gift? Yet only the one returned. The other nine were too excited about the gift. And not even the gift of faith, but the subsequent gift that the faith produced, which was the healing. And like those nine, often we too get focused on the gift and forget the giver. So have you forgotten about the giver, the one who has given you faith and the assurance of salvation and eternal life? If you have received this gift, I encourage you to respond with thanksgiving and praise. Thanksgiving is not just once a year. It should be our attitude all year long. As you respond and as we prepare for the Lord's Supper, I strongly encourage you to remember all that God has given you. As you receive the elements of Holy Communion, remember, first and foremost, the gift of salvation which God has provided you through Jesus Christ. And thank Him, not because you have to, not because He demands it, but because you want to. God calls us to live with a heart of thanks. Let us respond with a heart of thanks. Let us pray. Jesus, we thank You. Thank You for the healing that You have given us. Lord, forgive us for when we have failed to recognize Your gifts. But Lord, thank You for the salvation you have provided. Thank you for dying on that cross for our sins. Thank you for cleansing us and bringing us to new life. And Lord, continue to teach us through the power of your Holy Spirit to be grateful for all that you have done and to respond how you would have us respond in thanksgiving and in praise for your many blessings to us. Lord, teach us to count our blessings. Make them evident to us. And allow us to return the praise all back to you. For your honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen.